I'd like to talk about legal entities. Legal entities are a confusing topic because entities are living beings and legal structures are not. People have created a lot of legal structures meant to help people interact with each other in a better understood manner. And most often it is by limiting what people can do with respect to each other, and thereby making more clear on what they can do differently with respect to each other. It is a talk in itself to understand how in the creation of these legal constructs there are different levels of consciousness, and that I can better present in a talk of socionomics, because there we can see how in the transition from an individual into a relationship, into a group, into humanity, there is actually a shift from conscious to subconscious, to unconscious, to out of conscious, which means that at the moment that we're dealing with groups, the processes of consciousness are unconscious, and that is the reason why so many of the legal structures are not understood, and why so many conflicts arise out of legal constructs. I address this topic of legal entities because even though there are many confusions about the legality of laws and about the creation of laws, there is still enough structure in the legal system by which people can better work together. And in this talk I would like to briefly address the principle of alchemy as we see it in society, as it is reflected in law, specifically in the relation between the foundation, the association, the cooperation, and the business. They're actually the equivalents of the relationship between fire, air, water, and earth, in the way that would be described in alchemy. And in a sense they're also the relation between religions, politics, guilds, and storage or supplies. Let's start with the foundation. Foundation is a legal entity or a legal creation by which anybody can formulate an intent in such a way that at the level of law, which is the level of government and the level of state, others need to take into account that you now have formulated a specific idea, a specific intent, in such a way that it is now noticeable. And I certainly recommend that you look into the work of Robert Arthur Menard, who had a whole series of presentations of the free man on the land, because there you can much clearly see how communication is part of the legal structure. You need to notice something, which means that you need to give note of something, you need to notarize something so that it can have notoriety. At the moment that you make a statement public and you put it on paper, you put it in a different dimension. There's a whole separate series of stories that I have written about the four dimensions of reality that we live in, the three-dimensional reality that we live in, the two-dimensional reality of the plane of paper, of contracts by which people create fences and formulate defenses, like the walls of a building, the one-dimensional transaction, the realm of money, which are like the door handles from one contract reality to another contract reality, and the fourth level is freedom of choice, where people can determine what they wish to do for themselves and with others. It is in that sense that those four levels of social organization are also seen in that relationship between the foundation, the association, the cooperation, and the business or corporation. I prefer not to use the corporation because that is at the moment a very sick structure due to the coupling to money. So I'll just stick with the relationship between foundation, association, cooperation, and business. As I mentioned, the foundation is the place where you can present an idea, an ideal, you notarize it, you put it on paper, and from that moment on, the government structure needs to acknowledge and needs to take into account that you have now put your pawn on the playing board, and that in that playing board you in a way have put a little pope in place by which you say, well, this is the kind of reality that I wish to create. Actually, this is my letter of credit. This is my credo. This is my belief. I believe that. And then comes the formulation of the foundation, which is the carrier of an intent of an ideal. The legal construct of the foundation makes it possible to protect and secure that idea. Protect in a political sense, secure in a financial sense. So once you realize that, you can formulate any idea or concept, put it on paper. You might find that there are a couple of requirements by law which need to be put into the formulation of a foundation as well, such as the number of people that are on the board of it and what kind of role they have. So that actually connects it to the hierarchy and political system. There might be some connections to be put in on how it relates to the financial system and the system of taxation, if it is taxed, yes or no. And there might be some other regulations to be specified, what should be done at the moment that there are no other people who are carrying this idea or ideal of this foundation. You're free to choose how you formulate it. You're free to choose in which country you formulate it. You're free to choose if it is a religious foundation, a political foundation, or a social foundation, or a practical foundation. Again, the four elements of alchemy. Because the foundation is the carrier of an intent. I always recommend that people use all four of the legal entities because they complement each other. In that sense, the foundation is like the idea in the head. It is very clear, very nice. It separates from the body by the neck, and it can't live a life on its own. So it needs to be connected to the rest of reality, and for that it is helpful to complement the foundation with the association, a cooperation, and a business. So let's move our attention to the association. In the picture of the head, the heart, the hara, and the holy bone, the foundation is the head and the association is the heart. It is the place where people can communicate, where they're free to communicate. So this could be like a political party, or like a church, or like a social group, or like stamp collecting, or any place where people can share ideas and are free to play around with ideas. And note that in a foundation, the idea is very clear and very distinct, and this is how it is. But in an association, you can play around that idea. In physics, you would call that variational analysis. You can look at that idea from different perspectives. The foundation would be scientific approach, and the association would be the artistic approach. In the artistic approach, people can then come together. They can discuss the idea and the ideal, but they cannot change the idea and the ideal, because that is kept and secured in the foundation. It simply means that the people in the association, when they explore their ideas, will conclude that what they are doing still connects to that foundation and the idea contained within it, or they actually developed something beyond that. They either need to create a new foundation, or they need to get out of that association and do something else. The association in that sense is a meeting place, a marketplace of ideas, an exchange where people can look at an idea from different sides. And evidently there need to be some game rules in an association to avoid conflict by imposing respect, that people are free to have differences of opinion, but they are not free to claim that they are right and another is not. They are free to believe what they want to believe, but likewise is the other. And in the same way that the foundation represents the principle of freedom of choice, and that everybody can choose what choice they make, then likewise the association is based on the decision that has been taken, and how you then need to respect that others will have taken their decision, and that only helps to illuminate and illustrate how many facets there are to that idea. And in that sense, that's also the purpose of an association, that people can get a wider, a deeper, a more thorough, a more elevated understanding of the ideas carried by the foundation. The association is not the place where the idea is redefined. That's simply kept in the foundation. And it is also not the place where the idea is acted on, because that happens in the cooperation. So let me shift to that. So we are now going from the head to the front, through the heart, to the hara, from the foundation with the ideal, with the association, with the exploration, the communication. We now go to the hara, the center of action in the cooperation, and the cooperation is where people can do things. They're free to do things together, they can do things by themselves, they can help each other, others can help them. And the nice thing about having the separation of the four legal entities is that in this way, in the cooperation, there is no need for discussion. There's no politics involved, there is no religious battles. People simply do what they choose to do because they have already a clear mind, because they were able to clear the mind and the association. They know what everybody else knows. They know how they can do things differently, because they know how they think about things differently. And so they know how they can act differently. And in the cooperation, in that way, people can do their own things. And they all know that they will have a same kind of need for the space in which they can do this. So they will either find a piece of land or water or air or whatever it is that they need. If they want to sing, they need the air. If they want to move things around, they might prefer water. If they want to structure things, they might prefer to do that on land. And the cooperation in that sense will find its specific space. And in general, it will turn out that in the cooperation, people will have similar needs for a similar kind of space, similar kind of instruments, similar kind of supply, similar kind of communication interactions, tools of all kind. Humans have two main kind of instruments, which is language and technology, and a cooperation brings that together. And the legal entity of the cooperation then can define that this is a cooperation in which people can do things for themselves together. It is separate from society. It has nothing to do with anybody else. It is the place in which they can do what they wish to do. evidently there's a contact with the environment, and that's where it then needs the fourth legal entity, that of the business, or trading, or interaction, or translations. And the business is the fourth part of the body, where the foundation is the head, the association of the heart, and the cooperation of the hara. Then the business is the pelvis, the sacrum. And in the sacrum, there is a connection to the rest of the world. The business is not a place of production, it is not a place of discussion, and it is not a place of thinking. It is the act of connecting the results of the thought and the understanding and the action into a product. The business deals with the product, and that means that the product that has been created, whether it is a chorus singing on the mountains, or whether it's people having activities in nature, or whether it's people producing ideals or ideas as in educational or material products as in marketing, then the business is the center where the supplies required for doing the business of the cooperation and the information for having the proper discussions and the securing of the integrity of the foundation are all put in action. In that sense, the business is the interface and to the earth and to humanity, which means that it is also the interconnector to politics and church, and now the church has replaced by the bank of money, and the politics is more and more going worldwide. In that sense, the business is that part of the legal construct in which it is necessary to understand how earth resources and our human resources and our human resourcefulness can be combined to better the quality of life on the planet. I make that distinction between these four legal entities because they are so different, but I also put them together because they're also interconnected. Together they form these four elements of alchemy, or the principle of the head, the heart, the hara, and the holy bone in our body, the thinking, the feeling, the acting, and the results. And by combining them as legal entities, there is the great benefit that for everybody involved it is clear how the relationship operates, because it is put on paper, and for many people paper is still the kind of rudder on the boat which can steady the direction that things can go. So by having a clear description in the foundation of what the intent is, then the discussion in the association will have a very precise focus, and the legal formulation of the association can then be oriented on that, that the association is essentially like a religious community, and as you know, religious community do have a kind of immunity outside of many of the legal operations, because there is a hierarchy still in the legal constructs, that the more you are spiritual in what you do, the more you are out of the range and out of the scope of politics and legal systems, because they are very well aware that they organize activities between people, but they cannot organize the freedom of choice and the intent, the spirit and soul of the people, and that they are very well aware that they need to respect that. But it needs to be clear in your formulation of what you do that you are actually operating outside of law, because you're working in the spirit domain and you're working with humanity and you're working with Earth, but nevertheless you connect it to the legal domain and thus the political and the religious and the financial domain, because you choose and you wish to communicate to others what you're doing. You're simply helping others understand why you're doing it and that you're not doing anything that's threatening to them. By the way, this is one of the fundamental principles of the League of Nations, and that's based on the principle of Exodus in the Bible. Then when you have that understanding that you're entitled to do Exodus, you are entitled to create your own nation or your own religion or your own grouping, your own society, then there is a requirement that you do respect all others who have already done so. And that is core of the legal system. So when you enter into the legal construct, you need to acknowledge that you respect that they have already set up that legal system in their manner, and that you basically announce yourself as now participating in that system by your choice, and that you formulate your intent by a foundation, an association, cooperation, and a business. As I mentioned, I was just talking about that, the association can then be specified in such a way that you make clear that all of the debates of the association are internal for the association, that for everybody else, they need to know that they are not being affected by the changes, exchanges of meaning and the discussion taking place in the association. It needs to be, let's call it a sacred space. It needs to be, let's call it temple work. And everybody else around must know that all the shouting and the crying and whatever is the catharsis of people together finding new ideas beyond what they ever could hope or could scope for before. So you can define that in the association, and you need to be very clear on it, and also be clear that you do have an internal assurance and internal hygiene, so that when things go wrong, you will actually resolve it within yourself. There are some associations which choose not to do so, so they put themselves under police protection or under tax protection or under religious protection and so on. That's a choice that people have. It's called an affiliation or association with something else, which means that you lose your integrity and your identity. It means that you do no longer have your own spiritual beacon in your foundation, but somebody else can actually co-determine what your core beliefs might be. It is a choice. Okay, now to the third level of that of the cooperation. Once you are clear on what the idea is, and once you understand that you can discuss that with each other in the way that you choose, then it is evident that when you start to act on it, you need to be able to do so in a manner that it does not interfere with other people who are doing things there already. And that's where, at the level of the cooperation, there is at the moment a competition with corporations. Corporations are actually mercenaries working for money for the bank, and cooperations are people working together for the benefit of each other and for the planet and for everything else. So there is a great deal of concern in being precise and clear on how you formulate a cooperation. There need to be clarity on which people can participate. There need to be clarity on how they can interact. And for example, in the Earth Bank, the system is very simple. People propose what they want to do. They post that. Note my notice, as I would say in the legal term. Others can then note their notice and then respond to that and say, well, can I help you with that, or could you help me buy that? And then they form groups in which they can together decide how they can best help each other. Once they've got that worked out, they can start producing things. They can help each other, they can work their own stuff, they can work together, and that is where the collaboration of the cooperation actually takes place. It is the action of the cooperation, and then the results which come out of that are then presented for the others of the cooperation to assess or address as needed. That is still all an internal process, and in that sense cooperations can be totally tax exempt. They can be like a monastery of the past. They are people helping each other to work. It could be the model of the old farm, which also needs to be tax exempt, that the people who produce their own food are fed by the earth and care for their own environment. So in that sense the cooperation is also the old community, but in that sense it is not a community which is in conflict with other communities, and that's also the purpose of formulating it as a cooperation, that community now exists within the larger structure of law of a nation and is thereby also protected by the laws of the nation, that other communities or other cooperatives can not barge in and, like the Vikings, come plunder what people have produced elsewhere. And that is also one of the reasons that these kind of legal entities were created, that some of the conflicts which are non-local, it's just a community happily being itself, a little Garden of Eden, that there is a collaboration between all of those communities, I call it the nation, as a result of which marauders and raiders from the Vikings or otherwise cannot come in and plunder without all of the other communities immediately making sure that this kind of stuff does not happen. And that is also the legalization or formulation of cooperation in law, that kind of collaborative response is possible. One more level to go, that's that of the business. And the business is where at the moment there is some lack of clarity, because normally the business would be the periphery of the nation or the periphery of the community. It is that connection to the surroundings where a translation, an interfacing, a connection is necessary. And so the business would be the traders who look at where the products of the cooperation, when there are more produce or products than the community requires, then the business or the traders would take that and seek people who could benefit from that. So they would travel and they would share the abundance of the cooperative or the cooperation. And in bringing that out to others, they might get gifts back. This is what Swedenborg called charity. It's a giving of gifts. The potlatch principles, the traditional potlatch principles of the native Indians in America, North America, South America, that the business then shares the abundance with others, but as a result they also get to know others, and they get to have experiences from others. They might get gifts back, they might get learning back, people might come back. And as a result, at the business level, there is this interchange between cultures, and there is the connection, the vitality, say the feeding, but also the hygiene of the local community in the larger context. there is a good reason to be cautious about this understanding of business, because in this approach, as I portray it now, money and politics and military are not part of the story. And we still need quite a bit of cultural development before, in humanity, specifically in the Western world, this notion of money, monopoly, military might, media manipulation can be discarded from the story. Because that is the level where the connection between the communities is not based on generosity but on greed. Essentially, you can say that that's where the Vikings have still taken root in the different nations, as the system of taxation, living on the labor of others. And it still requires a bit of growing up to be able to resolve that. But that's also the whole purpose of this story. That once you understand that the legal entities are intended to help people help each other by a form of contract by which they can clearly understand each other, what is it that they want to do? The foundation. How did they wish to do it? Association. How do they do it? The cooperation. Then what is the result of that? The business. So that's where I would like to conclude the story, because I would like to leave it at the level of the idea, because it's much more important to make up your own mind on this, to not look at it as a recipe, but to come to an understanding of what is the purpose of the intent of these laws, and why are they called entities even though they are not alive? Which entities do they represent? And then you can understand that these legal entities do not represent the government. They do not represent the taxman, which is the Viking living in the land. They do not represent the bankers, which is basically the priest of greed. But they actually are the representation of how people can clarify what they think, what they wish to do, and how they do it, so that it can be done together with everybody else. It's a means of communication, it's a means of clarification, of understanding. So once you understand that, then you can simply formulate all these four levels of these legal entities. At the first level, what is it you seek to do? Second level, which others have that interest? Third level, how can you best do that? Fourth level is, how do you deal with the sequence of consequences? And once you understand how that connects to head, hara, heart, hara, and holy bone, then in that way, whatever you design for the foundation, the association, the cooperation, and the business, you can actually pre-test it in your body. How it feels, if it is healthy or if you feel a conflict in the body. And likewise, when you discuss it with others, do you feel a harmony or do you feel a cacophony? And that will be your gauge on are you ready to progress with these others and come to an agreement, or are you still in disagreement, and are there still aspects and perspectives what you have not looked at? And that is also why it is practical to separate out the foundation, the association, the cooperation, and the business, because then you can look at those four perspectives, actually those four dimensions, separately, and by doing so have clearer views on each of these different dimensions, these different categories, these different entities, and thus the different ways in which you can work together with others.